Welcome to The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. I'm speaking to you this morning from Washington, D.C. I'll be joined a little bit later right here in the BBC studios in Washington with our own Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. We're going to be talking politics a lot this hour, particularly the politics that you're all focused on in the Middle East, the demonstrations that are taking place today. We're following the violence in the Middle East. A little later this hour, Nicholas Kristof will join us. We're talking about who is seeking political advantage from this crisis and why. We'll explore a political milestone for Egypt's president and for President Barack Obama. There may be some kind of political bounce from all this. Will Obama get a commander-in-chief bounce in the 2012 election campaign? Will Mitt Romney get a critic-in-chief bounce during this crisis? And what of the conventions as we turn to domestic politics in this segment? Early numbers show that an Obama bounce from the Charlotte convention was legitimate, but in the rapid iterations of media and now with this new crisis, that may soon all be buried by other waves in the electorate. What do the polls really tell us? Who gets a bounce and why? Joining us to discuss the anatomy of a bounce in this era, do bounces last anymore? Is there, remember when George H.W. Bush said Big Mo, speaking of his campaign, is there Big Mo for momentum anymore? Daniel Hopkins is with us from the studios of WGBH up in Boston. He's an assistant professor in the Department of Government at Georgetown University. Professor, thanks for joining us.
Honored to be here.
So how do we evaluate the so-called bounce that Barack Obama seems to have gotten from the convention, and how quickly will it be overwhelmed by the news headlines that we're seeing this week?
Great question. With respect to evaluating the bounce, what we've seen over the last 30 or so years is these convention bounces are declining, so that the double-digit bounces that used to be somewhat common, I mean, we saw both candidates in 1980, that was when Jimmy Carter ran against Ronald Reagan, both of those candidates got 12 percentage point bounces. Now, you know, bounces on the order of 1, 2, 3 percentage points are much more common. So this is certainly his bounces on the order of what you might expect. The question of how long it's going to last, well, this had been a really, really stable race for months and months and months, despite a variety of campaign events, despite the consolidation of support, of Republican support behind Mitt Romney. So I think the best guess would be that that's an equilibrium we'll be back to soon.
Now, is this because people are tuned out in the ways that they used to be back in 1980? And we all remember, maybe we don't remember, but if you look at the history books in 1964, Barry Goldwater got this spectacular bounce and, of course, was overwhelmed by LBJ in the 1964 election. Are people more tuned out or are they more tuned in a way and they just lose sight of what happened 2 hours ago?
I think it's certainly that within the electorate, the set of people who are likely to vote, party attachments are strong nowadays. And so, you know, think about how different the American electorate looked in 1980 when, for instance, well, so in 1976, Jimmy Carter won evangelical Christians, right? He obviously won his home state of Georgia. The electorate looks very different, and I think many more people today enter elections more or less knowing that they're going to vote for their party's candidate, whether that's in, you know, 3 months or whether that's in 2 years.
You know, one of the stats that interested me during the Democratic convention, not to go too far back in history, but the president aired, you know, about 40,000 ads between August 26th and September 8th. Do huge ad buys have a, you know, blippy effect on the polls, and are campaigns, you know, focusing on those little blips at their peril, do you think?
I mean, I think certainly poll watchers focus on those blips at their peril. So what we know about advertising is that it matters and its effects are short-lived. So we know, for instance, that George W. Bush's significant advertising advantage in the 2000 election and, you know, the run-up to the Florida recount, that advertising advantage really helped George W. Bush. But we also know, thanks to some work by Alan Gerber, Don Green, James Gimple, and Darren Shaw, we know that these advertising effects are generally pretty short-lived and they're pretty concentrated in space, right? So when we're looking at the poll numbers today, these are not the effects of some ad blitz in Ohio. The poll numbers we see today are largely driven by the fact that first the Republicans and then the Democrats had a week of very favorable news coverage.
Interesting. All right. So then how do we evaluate? We're talking with Dan Hopkins, who's from the studios of WGBH in Boston, but he's an assistant professor in the Department of Government at Georgetown University right here in Washington, D.C., where I would normally be speaking with him. But Professor Hopkins, what do we make of the impacts of this crisis right now? Will President Obama get a six-hour sort of commander-in-chief boost from something like this? Or maybe, you know, it's more like what happened to Jimmy Carter, where the hostage crisis really ultimately kind of derailed him and derailed his sense of presidential gravitas. And what do we make of Mitt Romney's apparent missteps in the wake of this crisis? How do you think they will be reflected in the polls?
Well, I would take us back 4 years, right? So 4 years ago, coming out of the Republican National Convention, John McCain actually had a brief polling lead. And at the time, the single most cited quotation in all of the historical 2008 campaign was a quotation about Barack Obama mentioning that you can't put lipstick on a pig, and then candidate Sarah Palin and others picking up on that quotation. And at the time, of course, you know, political pundits like myself were spending a lot of time thinking about the impact of that particular event in early September. And it turned out that that lipstick on a pig quotation was essentially meaningless by November. So I would certainly caution us against reading too much into contemporary events. That said, we know that when America is attacked at home or abroad, the most common response among voters is a rally around the flag effect, an effect to support the incumbent president. I think this will certainly shift the debate, at least in the short term, to let voters focus on foreign policy and how they judge both candidates' foreign policy performance is going to probably depend on the candidates' reactions.
We're going to be focusing for the rest of this hour on this notion of having eyes on the ground. And the polls are already starting to reflect so-called likely voters, which are basically looking at people who are focused on the campaign, who aren't just sort of random speakers, who have party identity and are likely to go to the polls and vote. And they're making up their minds now. What does this likely voter dynamic do to poll numbers before we go?
It's a great question, and one that we should pay more attention to. So, for instance, if you look at the CNN polls conducted before the Republican National Convention, after the Republican National Convention, and then after the Democratic Convention, what you see is that the support for the two candidates among registered voters was very stable. But one of the core effects of these conventions, and especially the Democratic Convention, was to get Democrats energized and to get more Democrats on the phone saying, oh, yeah, maybe I will vote. I am more likely to vote. Now, of course, some of Obama's bounce right after the convention has been among registered voters. So that said, we know that one of the core functions of political conventions is to energize the base. And I think Mitt Romney's base, already having been energized, probably had less room to grow than maybe Obama's did.
Interesting stuff. Daniel Hopkins is with us from the studios of WGBH in Boston. He's an assistant professor in the Department of Government at Georgetown University, asking the age-old question, why do candidates get bounces and where do bounces come from? We maybe don't make bounces like we used to. Daniel, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.